Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of EloquenceOnline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. Troy is not here. Dr. Troy Hall is not with us today. He's traveling home from the Fiserv Users Conference over in Orlando. And speaking of the other coast of Florida, on Sunday I will be heading out via Southwest Airlines to help celebrate with GTE Financial. That's right. They don't have credit union in their name. I had that show posted earlier this week, the debate I had with Miss Denise Wymore, a very, very smart young lady. But I think history has proved that I was right about this. GTE Financial will be celebrating its All Employee Day. This will be my third time out there. They put on an amazing event, Reimagining Possible. And that's what they've been doing. They've been reimagining what a credit union can be, how to interact with their community. And I'm looking forward to seeing Joe Brancucci and all the great folks from GTE Financial next Monday in Tampa. And of course, I'm staying there all week through Thursday, because on Thursday, the home this Thursday, they're giving away 80 mortgage and or rent payments to some lucky member, up to $160,000, and some lucky employee on Monday during the All Employee Day will win 3 years of rent or mortgage payments. So amazing. And then, of course, don't forget, back to Thursday, International Credit Union Day, GTE is going to be in 3D. Yes, you heard that right, 3D. And so I'm looking forward to being out there in Tampa next week. The name of the show today, Fast Car. What if we could put strategic planning and set it to music? GTE Financial is a great, great place to start talking about that. There was a brand called GTE Telephone Federal Credit Union that wasn't doing so good. It just took one person coming in and seeing what was possible, reimagining what that brand could be. And here we are 5 years later in GTE Financial. They celebrate 80 years in business, celebrate the tremendous teamwork that's gone into the revitalization of that brand. Really, really looking forward to it. Show note, next week, you're not going to want to miss this. Just spoke to him on the phone this morning. His name is Philip Endicott, and he is starting Equality Washington. It is, I believe, the first credit union in America for the LGBT community. So we're going to have him on talking about where they're at in terms of raising money and awareness and how people can get involved. I always think it's very, very cool when somebody starts a credit union, because I used to ask the question, if credit unions didn't exist today, would they be invented? Would there be a compelling need for them? Philip Endicott has found a need and a niche, and we want to talk to him about where they are and where they're going at Equality Washington. So we'll have all that information for you next week. Hey, up first, it's a little bit of Dwight Yoakam. Dwight Yoakam, wonder why I'm playing that song. Well, let's talk about it. We were just talking about what's in a name. That was the name of the show. We had the debate between myself and Miss Wymore way back when GTE Financial rebranded itself as GTE Financial. They took the credit union out of their name. And I still think to this very day, sometimes credit union, those two words pushed together in a brand name, can be confusing to people. Well, I don't want to have credit or a credit problem, or I don't want to join a union, so I'm not sure what that means. I'll just go down to the bank. since I need to do banking. I think that the words, even in Texas, the word federal is not considered a great, great word here in the proud Republic of Texas. And so that if I were advising credit unions this year on strategic planning, I would say, hey, look, it might be worth your while to contemplate the possibility of taking the credit union out of your name, the way GTE did. And if you want results, go to Tampa and you will see and hear and feel the results of a revitalized brand, an awesome, elegantly functional, beautiful banking brand. And the reason I played that song, Dwight Yoakam, was when I first heard it, I did not like country music. And I certainly didn't like sort of that rockabilly vibe that you could find in certain genres of country music. That song really sort of converted me to somebody who could tolerate certain types of country music. I think that's what a brand needs to do. If people have been off-put by the concept of joining a credit union, or they don't understand what a credit union is, perhaps taking it out of your name will help people be converted to your brand based almost exclusively on how well you intentionally engage your audience. And so whenever I hear that Dwight Yoakam song, I remember I was a guy that did not like country music, but my wife did. So we would sort of, on long car rides, we would alternate, you know, an hour of this type of music for me, an hour of that type of music for her. And I would find myself just tapping my foot to that song. A great brand, a great performance can convert people to be ambassadors and believers in your brand. The name of the show, The Power of Performance, the name of our show, which I have written down right here, supposed to say it first, always forget, The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Going to a credit union that's doing that every single day leaves their audience wanting more. But that song took somebody who did not like country music, or perhaps just wasn't informed about what country music could sound like, just like people might be confused and misinformed about what a credit union can do for them. Make it something that they can understand. GTE Financial, everyone understands it. It's a place where I can do my banking. Yes, they're a credit union. Yes, they do everything they can for the credit union marketplace. But they're known in their areas of operation as GT Financial. And I think they took a great deal of the confusion that I think sometimes is attached to that federal credit union name in a lot of credit unions and simplified it. And they're reaping the benefits. All right, this next song, this is just to kind of set the mood for what I talk about next. The Youngbloods here.
Love is but a song we sing. See as we will die. You can make mountains ring, or make angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, and you may not know.
Right. Of course, everyone knows the next line. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother, everybody. Let's get together and try to love one another right now. It's not try. Let's love one another right now. Okay, that song. Whenever I hear that song, I just imagine the baby boomers back in the 60s or early 70s and the hazy afternoon on college and all the idealism. I've been watching Mad Men on Netflix. I'm watching it all the way through so I can finish it. And although I don't drink hard liquor or smoke cigarettes, I'm pretty sure that by the time I'm finished watching Mad Men, I will have cirrhosis of the liver and lung cancer. I've never seen a show where they drink and smoke so much. But let's think about that song. I always see like people sitting around and communing and holding hands and stuff like that. I played that song to make this point. I know that credit unions spend a lot of time and creative energy on this belief that there is a national movement to support credit unions. I cannot say that I am 100% right about this, but if I were advising a credit union in strategic planning, I would say don't worry about that so much. I believe members love their credit union, not all credit unions. I don't believe that most Americans wake up in the morning and consciously think, what can I do today to preserve the tax-exempt status of America's credit unions? I don't think the presidential election next year or any of the primaries is going to turn on that kind of issue. I think we got hung up talking about that at one point in our past. I think there are some big trade organizations out there, or at least one or two, that use it as kind of a rallying cry and a reason to get together and a reason to send us money so that we can advocate for this movement that I'm not sure exists nationally. Now, I think what you do in your community with your credit union is 10 times, 100 times exponentially more valuable than getting sidetracked by the quote-unquote credit union movement. And whenever I say it, I always have those air quotes around the word movement. I would focus on where you are and where you do business and the people that you see and talk to each and every day. Credit unions are a wonderful, vibrant second option for people. And like I said in shows past, there's nothing wrong with being second sometimes. We all want to be first. Don't get me wrong, but I believe if credit unions ever overtake banks as the number one financial service provider for Americans, it's going to be because they have great rates and they've got great brands, great individual brands. But this concept of a national social movement, I don't know. I don't really see any evidence of that. People going to the credit union today in New Braunfels aren't really thinking about a credit union in Maine or Washington State potentially. But it is a new world out there, and we can connect to one another very, very effectively and efficiently. And I get that. And I'm not suggesting we don't stop getting together as credit unions and talking about leadership and innovation and technology. I just don't think there's a national social movement to protect the tax status of credit unions. And I think that's actually not even the way to start the conversation about credit unions. Tell people why your credit union is great. Don't tell them first, don't tax my credit union. What does that even mean? Because credit unions do pay taxes. They pay property tax. They pay payroll taxes. Never understood that ad campaign at all. Hey, name of the show, Tracy Chapman and Fast Car.
You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. Did it like day out before us, and your arm felt nice, wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged. Someone.
Absolutely. That song came out when I was in the Army. A couple reasons I picked that and named the show Fast Car. First of all, strategic planning. Real simple. Make loans, get paid back. And yes, credit unions do a lot of auto lending, whether it's on a fast car or a not so fast car like my Hyundai Sonata, whatever it is, make loans, get paid back. Find ways to get your lending platform into the hands of people. And the reason I picked Fast Car, in addition, because I love that song, was when it first came out, and you have to remember, this was 1988, I think it was, when that song came out. And if you didn't want to wait for it to come on the radio, even though they did play it seemingly every hour, you had to go buy the album, or in those days, the cassette. I didn't even have a CD player in 1988. You had to buy the whole thing. And I remember thinking to myself, I wish there were a way that I could just get the song. You know, I didn't have, I mean, you can't put a 45 player in your car, and I didn't have a turntable in the barracks. I had a cassette player. I think they had cassette singles back in those days. I don't know if they had one. I remember going into a Sam Goody record store in there in California and asking, hey, is there a way just to get the song? No, man, try to tape it off the radio if you can or whatever. Little did I know, right up the road in Cupertino, less than an hour away from Fort Ord, that there was a company that would one day revolutionize the way that we get, listen to, enjoy, and share music, of course, Apple. And so in strategic planning, you know, in those days, it wasn't even a rumor, the concept of the iPad or the iPod or, you know, Zune or Napster. That stuff didn't even exist in the popular lexicon of America circa 1988. But I would ask you, as you get into your strategic planning session, what rumor that you're hearing about right now is going to become the reality? I think we can all agree, even though I kind of made fun of it when it first came out, the Apple Watch, man, when I see people just holding their watch to pay, that's cool. It's all about speed. I've got a Walgreens right down the road, and I have to go in there three or four times a week, but man, sometimes it takes forever to pay and get out of the store. It almost always takes me longer to pay than it takes me to find the two or three items that I need at Walgreens. And of course, part of it's my fault because I'm the one fumbling around for my debit card when I could just take my Apple Watch and beep, pay, or whatever people are using now, paying with their phone. Still haven't done that. I think that is something that all credit unions need to be focused on. How are people paying for things? My son asked me for an artifact this week for a project they're doing at the high school, and I gave him a cassette tape. And to him, that was an artifact. And, I mean, that wasn't an artifact to me. What's it going to be like when people pick up the iPhone 6 and say, remember these? I don't know how much smaller or more fascinating they can get. But when you're doing strategic planning, start thinking about what is the rumor right now that we're hearing about that's going to become the reality. The way social media kind of was back 10 years ago in 2005, we had all heard of MySpace and a little bit about Facebook. Twitter wasn't even alive yet. But, you know, there you go. It's just the marketplace is moving very, very quickly. Things are changing. I think they do change faster. You know, we always have a tendency to look at the history we're involved in and think no one else has been through it. But I honestly, honestly believe that the payment systems are going to be huge, huge, huge for credit unions. Because, I mean, we're in banking. People are accessing that money to pay for things. And that's something I think we're definitely, definitely going to keep an eye on. Hey, up next, one of my absolute favorites, Miss Patsy Cline.
There I found beside the Alamo enchantment strange as the blue up above, all that moonlit path that only he would know, still hears my broken song of love.
Miss Patsy Cline, about 22 miles north of that Alamo. Reason I played that, whether your members are paying with their Apple Watch or with cash or with debit cards or even the occasional paper check, there is something about tradition that never goes out of style. The traditional purpose of credit unions, people helping people cooperatively and collectively. I think that is still a tremendous value proposition when it is interpreted for the membership as this is where you're going to get the best rates and the best service. And you will be an owner with a vote in the direction of the credit union. The traditional aspects of credit unions never change. no matter how people are accessing you or liking you or favoring you or following you or blocking you, whatever the case is, traditions are traditions for a reason. And there is still tremendous leverage and tremendous value in reminding people that because we are this, it's kind of hard sometimes to explain it to people, because especially if you're like me and you want to take the word credit union out of it, let them know, hey, look, you're going to get better rates here. It's simple as that. For your fast car, for your slow car, for your house, for your refinance, for your new wood floors, whatever, our business model is set up in such a way that you're going to get a better deal here, and that is traditional, just like Patsy Cline, tradition of great country music. Love Patsy Cline. If I had a choice to have dinner with Patsy Cline or Katy Perry, and you guys know I love Katy Perry, I would rather have dinner with Patsy Cline. I know she's dead, but I'm just saying, if I could, I'm not going to have dinner with Katy Perry either. But if I could pick, like in Magic, I would certainly pick Patsy Cline. Hey, last song, the whole song. His name is Mr. Toby Mac.
Runs in life. This is not a test.
Toby Mac, great, 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 great artist, great, great music. I've said this before, again, by way of suggestion, we talk all the time about how to find more potential members in more places, segmented marketing and this kind of thing. Folks, I've always thought, not based upon anything I came up with, the credit union marketplace came up with this. Again, the traditional credit union model. Virtually every credit union with a charter, whatever geographic charter they have, it is based upon if you live, work, go to school, or worship in a certain area, you can join the credit union. And I don't know why credit unions don't do more to intentionally engage people based upon where they go to church on Sunday. And, you know, it's, I'm not saying it's always an easy thing to do, because it's always tricky when you're dealing with, you know, religion. It's always, it's just the way it is. It's polite society. Sometimes there, you know, we always say things you're not supposed to talk about, religion, politics, and this kind of thing. But, you know, you talk about segmented marketing. I know where a lot of your members are on Sunday morning, a lot of them. And I think with just a little bit of imagination and creativity, there are ways to find opportunities to intentionally engage that audience, whether they're Methodist or Catholics or Christians. And there are things that are not mutually exclusive the way you think they might. We're going to have a show next week about a credit union that is trying to become the first credit union for the LGBT community in America. And Philip Endicott told me this morning that they have office space donated by a Lutheran church. I believe very, very strongly in the right of self-determination, that if somebody wants to start a credit union and they think of, they've got a great idea and they've got a market plan and they've got a vision, more power to them. We celebrate credit union efforts on this show. We celebrate results of credit unions on this show. And so make sure you turn in next Friday, and you're going to hear about Equality Washington with Philip Endicott. On behalf of Dr. Troy Hall and myself, we look forward to speaking with you every Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. You can join us live or you can listen later. The choice is up to you. By way of wrapping it up, again, looking forward to seeing my buddies out at GTE Financial. And like I said, does your brand have the power to convert somebody who thought credit union meant they had to have a certain credit score to join said union, or they had to be a teacher, or they had to be a federal employer, or they had to work for the telephone company? Does your marketing, does your message, are you intentionally engaging people with a performance that is going to convert them and cut through all the other chatter and noise out there trying to get your potential members' business or your existing members' business and convert them to your brand as a loyal brand ambassador? What is the rumor right now that is about to become the reality that we will all have to deal with in the future? As you do your strategic planning and think about that, what's the rumor that is about to become an everyday reality in the banking marketplace? Fast car, slow car, no car, motorcycle, RV, boat, home improvement, mortgage, make loans, get paid back. That is just about everything you need to know to have a successful credit union. But never forget Patsy Cline, tradition, people helping people. That cornerstone of the credit union philosophy never goes out of style, even when paper checks and debit cards inevitably do. People helping people collectively, cooperatively. It is what a credit union is all about, whether you use the words credit union in your name or not. Of course, like I said, if you find a way to do it, please let us know, because I'm not even sure I can tell you how to do it. But there are a lot of people going to church this Sunday. There might be a way for you to effectively market your message to some people who perhaps did not know a whole lot about you. And if you can find a cool and effective and creative way to do that, by all means, we'd love to talk to you about it. Hey, folks, until next we speak, my name is Jason Dye, signing off from the studio of eloquentonline.net, and we will talk to you all next week. Goodbye.
And that's all, folks.